There are Christians who do not have any strength. They go from one defeat after the other. Maybe they eat too much spam. They are never on top. They are always down in the pit, totally depressed. And many others ask, what is the reason for that? Has God created some spiritually stronger than others? Where does spiritual strength come from? Is it only available to certain special people? Is God favoring some over others? Not at all. God did not create some people spiritually stronger than others. Spiritual strength is available to all. All of God's children can have it. But some people do not know where strength comes from. Nehemiah, way back in the book of the Old Testament, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 10, he knew where strength comes from, and he said to Israel, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Some Christians have no strength because they have no joy. This morning in our text, looking at the lives of two pregnant women, and we can trust them even though they're pregnant, we will learn from them indescribable joy. So please turn with me to our text. We're in the book of Luke. We're still in chapter 1, verse 39, as we continue where we stopped last week. We've learned that this chapter has four parts, four visits. The visit of Gabriel to Zacharias, the visit of Gabriel to Mary, the visit of Mary to Elizabeth, and the visit of God to his people. So we've covered the first two visits. So today we'll take the third one, the visit of Mary to Elizabeth, her relative. And from these two pregnant women, we will learn about indescribable joy. So Luke continues his story, and he says in verse 39, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. So Mary lived in the city of Nazareth in the area of Galilee. Having received the news that Elizabeth was pregnant at her age, she went to pay her a visit. Maybe she wanted to make sure that the old gal was really pregnant. Elizabeth lived in the hill country, the region surrounding Jerusalem. Jerusalem, you always go up to Jerusalem. It is higher level. It was about 70 miles away, and it was quite a job for this teenager to go alone that far on foot. Such a trip would take at least 5 days. Now, going with haste does not necessarily mean that she ran all the way there. It suggests a state of mind. She could hardly wait to get there and see what the Lord had done for Elizabeth, her relative. She knew her all of her life. They wanted children. They could never have any, and they were getting old. And now she was pregnant. So she was excited to go and see her. And she was excited for her. So then the two miracle mothers met in verse 40. An old lady and a teenager, both pregnant by the intervention of God. One was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, and the other was helped by the Holy Spirit. And they could have started a support group for miracle mothers. Come on Monday night, 7 o'clock, miracle mothers meeting. We do not know what Mary said to Elizabeth to greet her in 41, verse 41. But whatever she said was very powerful, because when she said it, two things happened. Number one, the baby leaped in his mother's womb. And number two, the mother was filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it mean that her baby leaped in her womb? What's the big deal? Babies move all the time in their mother's womb. In this particular case here, it means that the baby was filled with the Holy Spirit. This was the accomplishment of the promise made by the angel, if you remember in verse 15, he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he was. But do not get confused here. Neither Elizabeth nor the baby John the Baptist received the baptism of the Holy Spirit here. They received the infilling of the Spirit. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a person's life comes from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you are confused, when you should check out the studies, we've done 7 or 8 studies on the Holy Spirit. They are available at the Word of Life Lending Library. The Holy Spirit is a very important part of the Christian life. Now, because she spoke with a loud voice after being filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 42, some people use this scripture here to justify their yelling in the Spirit. I have been in Pentecostal services. I have been to some of those prayer meetings where people shouted to God as if he was deaf. Sometimes a work of the Holy Spirit in our life may cause us to raise our voice in excitement, but a loud voice does not necessarily mean or indicates that it is a part of the Holy Spirit, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have to speak loud. There are people, their voice change when they say that they are filled with the Spirit. It is possible to speak a genuine word of prophecy from the Holy Spirit with a soft voice. It's hard for me, but it's possible for some people. It's also possible to speak a word of prophecy with a loud voice, and the Holy Spirit has absolutely nothing to do with it. But some Christians are convinced that we must speak with a loud voice in order to speak forth in the Spirit. And it is not so. Luke tells us here what Elizabeth said with a loud voice. She said, "Blessed are you among women. Oh, how happy you are among women." She did not say that Mary was blessed above women, but among women. She certainly was blessed, but she was not set above the others. While we don't want to ascribe to Mary that which only belongs to God, neither do we want to minimize her place in the plan of God. Later in a few weeks, we will hear another prophecy by an old man named Simeon, saying that a sword will pierce through her own soul, speaking about the day when she will see her own son bleeding to death on that cross. To be chosen by God is a blessing, but very often it means a crown of joy as well as a cross of sorrow at the same time. It is not always easy to serve the Lord. God does not choose a person for ease, comfort, and selfish joy, but for a special task. And very often, the task is not an easy one. People want their task to always be easy, but it won't always be. It was not for Mary. Then Elizabeth said something weird. She said, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." How did she know that Mary was pregnant? She was young. She was unmarried. Very few people knew her condition. Joseph did not even know. Mary was not far enough to be showing that she was pregnant. And with the kind of baggy dresses that they had in those days, those muumuus there, you could go for a long time without noticing that you're pregnant. But being filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth had the gift of word of knowledge. A very interesting gift. She just knew that Mary was with child. Not only did she have that gift of word of knowledge, she also had the gift of prophecy. She prophesied concerning the child. She said that he was not just any baby. He was her Lord. She said, "The mother of my Lord should come to me." The Holy Spirit gave Elizabeth a clear understanding of the mystery of the birth of the promised Messiah. So Elizabeth saluted Mary as the mother of my Lord. There was not a trace of jealousy in her heart nor in her voice. Only joy and delight that the unborn baby would be her Lord. She could have been jealous. Why not me? Why am I not carrying the Lord? There was no jealousy. She was carrying the forerunner. Mary was carrying the Lord. Mary was blessed among women in that she was given the privilege of bearing the Messiah. The fruit of her womb is blessed in that he is the Lord and the Savior that they had been waiting for so long. Elizabeth gives us the response of baby John in verse 44. She said that as he heard the voice of Mary, he leaped in her womb like dancing. Leaping was an expression of joy. Researchers have done some studies and believe that the unborn children in the womb can recognize voices. And they encourage mothers and fathers to talk to their children in the pregnant woman's womb. So those women who have been coming to church, pregnant women who came to church regularly, them kids, they recognize my voice. They look at me and they wonder, where do I know that voice from? And you can tell because I do a baby dedication and they stay right there. They don't cry at all. They know the old guy. But since this is the case, husbands, be careful not to fight, argue, and scream and yell at your pregnant wife. The child will hear your screaming, yelling voice, and he may learn to be afraid of you, afraid of that voice from the womb, and he has never seen you yet. Be very careful with that. Earlier, Elizabeth had pronounced a few blessings upon Mary. Remember, she said, "Blessed are you among women." Then, "Blessed is the fruit of your womb." And in verse 45, "Blessed is she who believed." The blessing upon Mary for believing the word of the angel to her, believing his promise to her. Faith is here represented as happiness. Oh, how happy is she who has believed. She could have ignored or reject what that angel said to her, but she believed. And it is still true today. Oh, how happy is the person who has believed. There is joy and happiness in faith, something that unbelievers do not know. They have never experienced. There is no joy. There is no sparks in their eyes. There's something dead. There's something missing inside of them. It comes from believing. It comes from having a relationship with God. Finally, by the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth gave Mary a confirmation that God will fulfill his word to her. She reassured Mary that whatever the angel has said will come to pass. So Luke goes on in verse 46, and he said that Mary replied to the word. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. So now we have Mary's response. This part that I just read here is known as the Magnificat, the Latin word for magnifies. She says that her soul magnifies the Lord in verse 46, and her spirit has rejoiced in God, her Savior, verse 47. Even with all the potential things that could have happened to her as the result of this unwed pregnancy, as we saw last week, still her spirit rejoiced, and the joy of the Lord was her strength. She knew that the child to be born was God's salvation for the world. And as said last week, Mary was born with a sinful nature like you and I. And she realized that she was also in need of a Savior. She says it, my Savior. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Someone that is without sin does not need a Savior. She needed a Savior. Her salvation was coming through the child that she was carrying, the Messiah that had been promised so long ago. Acknowledging God as her Savior indicates that she trusted the Lord for her own salvation. She did not believe, like some people, that she was born without sin. She praised God for what He did for her. He made a way for her as well to be saved. He was providing a Savior for her sins too. Now, starting with verse 48, she gives the many reasons for her soul to magnify the Lord and why her spirit is rejoicing. At least 8 times we see the word he has, all the things that he has done. The first one, he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. Even though she was poor, very poor, God considered using her anyway. It is shown in other scriptures that both her and Joseph, the men that she was marrying, that they were all from the lower class of people. When they presented their son Jesus to the temple, they could not afford a lamb. So they offered a pair of birds, which was much cheaper. Now, if you were God, and if you would have to choose a human instrument to bring your son into this world, if you would have to choose a home where he would spend his life, what kind of home would you choose for your son? What kind of parents would you choose for him? What kind of circumstances would you want to surround him with? You would probably choose a nice, rich family with a nice, big house and plenty of comfort for your baby boy. But if God had done that, then He could not identify with certain people, and certain people could not identify with the Savior. And God, in His wisdom, and in His love, He chose a poor family. Some people would say, He cannot identify with me. He does not know what it is to be broke and to be hungry. But He did know. He never had any money. When teaching about paying taxes, what did He do? He borrowed a coin. He did not even have one. When it was time to pay taxes, what did He do? He borrowed a coin from a fish that had one in his mouth. He did not have one. So this section shows that Mary had an excellent knowledge of the Word of God. She weaved together a wide variety of songs, and it is also a counterpart of the prayer of Anna, Samuel's mother, in 1 Samuel chapter 2. She knew that story very well. Notice what she said. All generations will call me blessed. Verse 48. She did not say, all generations will call me Queen of Heaven. She did not say, all generations will call me Mother of God. I'm sure her pure soul hates these titles. They are not only ridiculous, they are blasphemous. She is not the mother of God. She cannot be the mother of God. God has always existed. He is eternal. She did not always exist. She was created by God. She did not say either, all generation will invoke my blessing or will call on me to bless them. She did not say those things. She is not what some people have made her to be, and I'm sure she is embarrassed about it. She was an instrument that God used, but she is not the mother of the eternal God. He created her, and he called her. She cannot either provide certain things, and she cannot obtain special favors for others from Jesus. Remember what Jesus said when she called him. He said, "Who is my mother?" In verses 49 to 55, she mentioned seven more reasons why her soul magnified the Lord and why her spirit rejoiced. The first thing is in verse 49, the power of God. The second one in verse 50, the mercy of God. The third one in verse 51, the strength of God. The fourth one in verse 52, the righteousness of God. The fifth one in verse 53, the provision of God. The next one, number 6, verse 54, the help of God. And the last one in verse 55, the promises of God. So we see why she was so ready to serve God, so ready to do anything for him, willing to face family and friends with her pregnancy, unwed pregnancy, even face execution if it comes to that. Because she had a good knowledge of the God whom she was serving. Do you have a good knowledge of the God whom we serve? Or is it because you don't know him very much that you don't serve him very much? Get to know him, and you will want to serve him. Once a person has a good knowledge of God, that person cannot help it but want to do anything for him. To get to know him and serve him, it's a great joy. In verse 52, referring to the righteousness of God, she said, "He has put down the mighty from their throne." Again, showing her knowledge of the Old Testament, referring to the removal of King Saul from the throne of Israel, replacing him with King David and other kings who were later removed from their position. God took them down. In verse 55, she acknowledged that God spoke to Abraham, and she acknowledged that the promises that God made to him were fulfilled. The promised seed was in her at that very moment, just as God had said would happen. Now, verse 56 here, because of the 3 months mentioned plus the 6 months of verse 26, some commentators suggest that Mary was present long enough to see John's birth. Other commentators suggest that Elizabeth's son, John, was not born until after Mary had returned to her own home. So read many commentators, you will be totally confused. But it is not that important. But Mary was most likely there to see John's birth. Why stay that long and leave just prior to his birth? Verse 58 says that Elizabeth's neighbor and relatives rejoiced with her. So Mary was among those relatives. When she came back home, she was 3 months pregnant, And I'm sure it must have moved some evil tongues. Even though it is not mentioned here, you know how people are. Did you know that she was gone for 3 months to the hill country? And now she's with child? It took a real work of God to protect Mary from all the evil tongues. So we see in our text this morning, three persons rejoicing in the Lord. Two miracle mothers and an unborn baby boy, all rejoicing in the Lord. We see, number one, the joy of Elizabeth. She rejoiced that she was not only pregnant in her old age, but she was granted the honor and privilege to have the mother of her Lord and Savior come to her house. She was blessed by Mary's faith. She was rejoicing. Number two, we see the joy of an unborn son. Even before his birth, John experienced the joy of the Lord. The sound of the voice of the mother of the Lord caused him to jump in the womb. And he then had the great joy and privilege of introducing the long-awaited Messiah to the Jewish nation. And number three, we see the joy of Mary. Her joy compelled her to lift her voice in a hymn of praise. The fullness of the Spirit should lead us to joyful praise in our lives. She rejoiced because of what God did for her. She said in verse 49 that he had done great things for her. And in verse 53, she said that he filled her with good things. We know and we serve the very same Lord whom Mary magnified. He is still the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He has not changed. He will not change. He cannot change. Like Mary, we have the very same reasons to rejoice. The power of God is the same. The mercy of God is the same. The strength of God is the same. The righteousness of God is the same. The provision of God, the help of God, the promises of God, the forgiveness of God, they are all the same. Like for Mary, he has done great things for us. And he has filled us with good things. We have no reason to doubt. We have so many reasons to rejoice in the Lord. Always. The blessing of a spiritual life. Isaiah said in Isaiah 61:10. He says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. Imagine, we have a relationship with the creators, the mighty and awesome God of the universe. We are nothing like Mary, but we have a relationship. We can enter anytime his office and say, Lord, I need help. Others, they make appointments. We go straight in like a kid. Another reason we have to rejoice in the Lord, the delight of God's word. Jeremiah said in 15, verse 16, your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. He was excited that he was called by God's name. And he desired to have a relationship with us. We are called by his name too. He loves us. He wants to spend time with us, spend eternity with us. He who has no joy does not understand these things. He has forgotten the great things that God has done for us. He has forgotten the good things that God has given us. He has forgotten God's mercy, God's promises, God's forgiveness. The one with no joy has forgotten these things. Keeping our minds on these things will produce an indescribable joy. And the joy of the Lord will be our strength. We will not go from one defeat to another like some people do, but we will be victorious. The ultimate work of God in a person's life is joy. If God works sorrow in your life for a short period of time, it is only that he may ultimately bring you into his joy. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." This is the desire of his heart for you. He wants his joy to be your strength. The ministry of the Lord has always been the redeeming of what was lost, of what was worthless. Not just cleaning up our past, but giving us a glorious joy and giving us strength for the present and giving us hope for the future. Satan will tell you that there is no hope for you, that you have messed up too bad, that there is no help for you no more. You crossed the line. You went too far. Do not believe him. He is trying to bring misery and hopelessness in you. He is a liar. He is the father of lies. A person can become so depressed that he can no longer function. And that's what the devil likes to do to people. All the person can do is just sit and stare all day long. He does not have the strength to face the day. He just lies around with the shades closed. It is amazing how Satan can destroy those who yield to his influence. Look at the number of lives destroyed by alcohol and drugs, the number of lives being destroyed by AIDS because they did not have the strength to say no. They did not have the joy to say no. Joy does not need anything. Joy does not look for something else. If I can only, if I could. No, joy does not look at those things. Joy is content with what it has. They did not have the strength because they did not have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord produces strength. The whole picture changes when the joy of the Lord begins to fill a person's heart. A person filled with joy is content, totally satisfied. He is not looking for anything else, anywhere else. So let's learn from this young pregnant woman, Mary, this young Jewish girl. She was young, she was single, and she was as pregnant as can be. She was engaged to marry a poor carpenter, much older than her, who might dump her if he finds out that she's pregnant. What did she have to rejoice and sing about, if you think about it? She sang about the Lord, about what he did for her, about how he gives power to the weak, how he gives food to the hungry. He is mighty to do great things and to fill people with good things. How did she have the strength to go through all that she did? she had the joy of the Lord. An indescribable joy. It cannot be explained to anyone. And I hope that you have that joy. An indescribable joy. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the story of this young lady. How we see the joy in her. An indescribable joy. She was on dangerous ground. She was single. She was unwed. She was pregnant. People would talk. Her fiancé might dump her. She could be accused of fornication and be killed by the elders of the city. And yet she's rejoicing. She kept her eyes on you. She knew what you can do. She knew what you have done. And she, looking at you, looking at those things, was able to rejoice. And she was filled with joy. She had an indescribable joy. No fear in her, content with what she had, satisfied. Elizabeth, the same thing, satisfied, content, no bitterness, no envy. Why not me? Why her, this young girl, to be the mother of the Lord? Why me only, the mother of John? No, they rejoiced. They were content. They were happy with what they had. They kept their eyes on you. May we do the same, O Lord. May we keep our eyes on you. May we see what you have done. May we know what you can do. And may we be content with what you've done. May we have that joy. We desire, Lord, the joy of the Lord, an indescribable joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What is the connection between the joy and the strength? What is the connection between the joy and sin? The one who is not content will sin. The one whose life seems to be lacking something will sin. If you take a look at the first sinner, it was a woman. Sorry. Eve. Satan came to her. And when she saw that the fruit was good, when he mentioned that wisdom, that it would make someone wise, that she could get more knowledge, she would get to know what God knows. She was not content with what she had. She did not have the joy of the Lord and say to this sucker, I'm sorry, I'm fine. I don't need this tree. I don't need this fruit. I'm completely content with the Lord. Her joy would have been her strength. She did not have that. She was not content with what she was having. She wanted more. And she sinned. And that's how the joy of the Lord is your strength. You are happy with what you have. You have what God has given you. You don't need anything else. And if you have that joy that you have everything, you'll be strong when the enemy comes. You will not be defeated. You will not go from one defeat to the next. You will be victorious. You will have that joy of the Lord, that joy that you have what God wants you to have. You are where God wants you to be. You're doing what God wants you to do. You're happy as can be. No one can come now and tempt you with something else. You have that joy of the Lord, and it is your strength, and that's what the devil is trying to convince you that you don't have that joy, you're missing this, and even the commercial today, you're not really happy if you don't have this, and unless you have this, your life is going to be much more better, and you believe all those things people believe, and they fall into sin. The joy of the Lord, content with what you have. The devil cannot touch you. He cannot do anything with you. If you're content with what you have the joy of the Lord, you are strong, you will not go down. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May He bless your week, bless your life. May He cause you to see the joy, to see that God is good to you. He has given you good things. And be content with what you have and obtain that joy of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.